Mad Men. The award-winning show about Madison Avenue in the 1960s is full of cigarette smoke and liquor drinks. It's also full of pencil skirts and front tie blouses, slim suits, and skinny ties. In fact, the show that takes place 5 decades ago is having a major impact on what people are wearing today.
We have maybe 2 or 3 customers that come in once a week or once every 2 weeks, and they're always looking for that kind of thing. That's their style.
I'm Sarah McConnell, and this is With Good Reason. On today's show, going mad for Mad Men fashion. Coming up, an acclaimed artist uses stop-motion animation to breathe life into her mannequin sculptures.
We know that it isn't alive, and yet its movement calls forth from us a kind of involuntary emotional response. I think we, as children, come to be addicted to this delicious uncertainty.
But first,
have a drink.
If you've ever watched the TV show Mad Men, you know that most of the business meetings start with a few cubes of ice.
What are you having?
Whatever you're having.
I'm not having anything.
A whiskey.
You are Don's girl, aren't you?
I was raised on whiskey.
Sit down.
The advertising execs on screen are hardly ever without a drink or a cigarette. But when the smoke clears, the men are all dressed in sharp-looking suits and the women in beautiful cocktail dresses, high heels, and gloves. It's not hard to see why people are so obsessed with the clothes. Go to any vintage clothing shop nowadays, and the owner is probably familiar with the Mad Men style.
The fashions are fantastic. We do sell a lot of cocktail dresses and a lot of 50s jewelry. We do also have the gloves and some hats and some of the slips and lingerie.
We certainly get a lot of flowy dresses. We've had bullet bras before, although we don't have any now. Those are always kind of fun to go through. We've had a few fedoras, and we get a lot of small-waisted dresses. We have older clothes, and you can tell they're older based on the sizes. For instance, someone who's a size 4 today certainly couldn't fit in a size 4 from that era, so that's usually how we can tell.
Yeah, the sizes may have changed, but the look is in demand. To talk more about the recent rise in 50s and 60s styles and fashion in general, we're joined now by Karen Vitatek. She's chair of the fashion department at Virginia Commonwealth University and an expert on fashion forecasting. Karen, you say fashion doesn't lead, it follows the direction people want it to go. Is that true?
I believe it is. Consumers really choose fashion. They look at what the designer has to say, what the manufacturer makes. If nobody wants it, nobody buys it, it goes on the markdown rack. And on the markdown rack at some point in time, then we actually have to give it to Goodwill or give it away.
Yeah, you say that, but I think of the impossible-to-wear styles that we see on the runways in Paris.
Oh, yeah. Now that's another story. When you start to talk runway Paris, you're talking about the theater of fashion. That's really different. Theater of fashion is the extremes. It's the excess. It's the part that you go, ooh, look at that. Ooh, I would never wear that. Oh, isn't that outrageous? But what happens is it's redone. It is, you know, reinvented. It's, maybe, I don't want to say dumbed down, but made more palatable for the everyday consumer. And so what may be an exaggerated shoulder on the runway, which just looks like makes that model look like a football player, well, we would make it for consumers. We'd still have a lot of emphasis on the shoulder, but it wouldn't be to the extreme we'd see it on a runway. It trickles down from the runway, from the wealthy who buy the very expensive garments, and it kind of trickles down to the everyday consumer. Now, that doesn't happen overnight. That usually takes a few years. There's the bubble up, and that's the stuff that comes from the streets, and that's, you can look at just the way blue jeans are worn. Are we wearing skinny jeans? Are we rolling the pants up? Are we wearing them on our hips? You know, I'm always shocked that there's still a group of urban men, young men, who wear their pants low. That's still out there. That still hasn't gone away. And that's really about when you start to talk about class, that there is a group of people who may still wear something that maybe the majority of people at a university have moved on and no longer wear. Okay.
But they might also have to wear it because.
Oh, absolutely. You know, there's a theory on how those pants started. Young men had to wear their older brother's clothes. and that it was just passed down, and it was too big, and they belted it, but it still fell down. And then the other was the talk that it was a look that was worn in prison. This is a good example of the bubble-up theory. That's the street that comes up from the streets. And then there's the fashion that moves amongst your peers. And I always love to use high school examples. You know, girls wearing a certain color lip gloss, and it's purple, and they put it over pink. And nobody at any other school wears it, but every girl in that high school wears that lipstick that way.
Or my daughter, who came back from her exclusive college the very first semester and laughed and said, two girls came up to me and said, oh, honey, we're all going to be wearing our Burberry to the game Saturday.
You got it. Exactly. See, that's exactly it. You know, the standards are set for all of us. There's standards that are very local. There's more regional. There's national. And then there's international. Probably the biggest revolution, it was in women's fashion. It was Dior's new look. What happened is after the war, fabric became abundant once again. Prior to that, their fabric was limited. So women's outfits had gotten pared down, but also they were working in the factories. Their husbands, boyfriends, majority of the men were at war. But when all the men started to return, we saw Dior bring in this very feminine look. And fashion turned overnight. Now, that hardly ever happened. The femininity had been backed off because men weren't there. Okay, so why doll up?
You know? Yeah.
So, but now the men are back. We saw a re-emphasis on the bust line. Oh. So we start to wear girdles to cinch in the waist. You know, we get a full skirt. That is always a sign when we actually find the roles of women going back very traditionally when we see this happen. And I think one of the fascinating things is also the whole foundations, when you start to talk about women's apparel.
By foundations, you mean shaping the body.
Shaping the body. Let me give you a couple more historical perspectives. The 1920s, I always love to use this example because everybody is familiar with the flapper. You know, she cut her hair really short. She put a cloche on. Flapper dresses straight up and down. People usually think it was well above the knee, and it wasn't. But it was a lot shorter than the 1910s and the turn of the century, which was ankle length. So for the flapper's dress, it probably went up 4 or 5 inches shorter than what it had been previously. Women bound their chests.
No.
At that time?
I didn't know that.
Yeah. They bound their chests. So it was a very straight, very de-emphasizing women's bodies. Now we look at the 60s. And you think of Twiggy. Short hair, straight up and down shift dresses, very, very short dresses. Now rather than bound their bodies, they got very thin. Both those times, women somewhat emasculated themselves, de-emphasized the parts of their body that were feminine. And what was going on in society? Women's movement for the vote in the 20s, and then Title IX and equal rights for women in the 60s. So we go now, we look at the 50s, and we look at the today, and we have to ask ourselves, so what's happening? Why would people all of a sudden be interested in this more feminine shape? So could this be a movement back to a time when people felt more comfortable, when times when we're a little less hectic? Is it a part of a recession? Is it part of a time where, well, let's go back, maybe a smaller home, maybe mom stays home with the kids, maybe what our moms really worked for, maybe that wasn't as important to us.
And so what are you seeing now that tells you we are gliding towards 50s looks for men and women?
I don't see as much in the women. I see a little bit. You know, women like it. There's a little more emphasis on a fuller skirt with an emphasis on the bras, the corseting, you know, shapewear, the costume designer for
Spanx,
exactly. The costume designer for Mad Men has just signed an agreement with Maidenform. That tells me that underwear is becoming control.
Girdles?
Yes, control garments, but they're called Spanx. They're just called something different, right?
Are we going to have those stockings that come up to your thigh and then what was it called?
The garters. Garter belts. And I don't think it'll go back to that, but I think that isn't it fascinating that when we want to control women, we add control garments?
Yeah.
You know, so...
Or
so
when women want to be controlled.
Want to be controlled.
I don't know if you're allowed to say that, but...
No. Yeah. I agree with you. No. It's still a control garment, and I find that fascinating over time whenever that happens. Women don't ever have to give up control. They maybe choose to give
exactly.
up some control. Now, in the men's, we are seeing the buffalo plaids, the hats. Look at hats. Look at the retro perspective of hats for men today.
Are guys wearing fedoras again?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I saw Matt Lauer wearing one the other day.
Yeah.
Also, there's talk of men's clothes being less casual, that men are going to be dressing up a little more. And that, you know, could have a lot of different reasons. You know, men are looking for jobs. You know, it's during a recession. So wouldn't it make sense they're going to look more formal? They're going to dress more in suits. They're going to try to change their look to secure a better job or to move ahead. There's a movement I've read a lot about, and it's called the retrosexual. And it's a return. Men are returning to a more traditional time, usually in the 50s and some of the early 60s. I like to think of Clark Kent and Superman and Lois Lane, because you're seeing some of the women return to this also.
I like to think of Don Draper.
Yes, exactly. In Mad Men, exactly. You're talking exactly. Time frame when men's role was very well defined. Their masculinity was very well defined. You know, everything, strong shoulders, you know, very tailored clothing. And we see the return to this masculine time was when males' roles were better defined than today. There's a lot of issues with gender parity. Women, 3 out of 5 people in college are women today. Of the 8+ million people out of work, probably, I've read anywhere between 60 and 75% of the people out of work are men. We see women staying at work, men are staying home with the children. A lot of men's traditional roles are being redefined.
So you're saying men's gender roles are changing. Where are you getting that?
Well, I read a wonderful article this summer out of The Atlantic, and it was called The End of Men. This is kind of a scary article, and it doesn't really mean the end of men. What it means is maybe the end of men in the role that they had previously held, that their really roles in society were beginning to change. And the change, again, was based on where they worked, what kind of work they were doing. It seems like women and the skills that they bring, the soft skills that women bring to the marketplace, are really being respected and wanted by society. You know, cooperative, teamwork skills, ability to communicate well, the ability to empower others. Those are all the skills that businesses are looking for, and they're the skills that women traditionally have held. When we look at jobs changing, the jobs that have gone away are jobs are manual jobs, skilled labor, and those are ones held by men. And yet the jobs that encourage those soft skills, nursing, teaching, we haven't been able to get men excited about those jobs. So what we may see is that as their men's role change, will they also choose to change the kind of careers they pursue? That, of course, is one of the questions that also influences what they choose to wear. And it may be the backlash to the loss of gender roles.
I think this, until they can make a Bud Light commercial out of a whole gang of men on the nursing floor,
yeah,
it's not going to happen.
Well, you know, it's funny you should say that. There's been some great commercials. Did you see the one on the Dodge? I think it was on the van, and it came out during Super Bowl. And the guy says, and I will hold your purse, and
yes,
I will do those things. Again, it was emasculating men. They're going to hold our purses, and they're going to drive our minivan for us, and they're going to take the kids. And it's that says volumes about men relating to that.
I will take your call. I will listen to your opinion of my friends. I will listen to your friends' opinions of my friends. I will be civil to your mother. I will get up and walk the dog at 6:30 a.m. I will eat some fruit as part of my breakfast. I will shave. I will clean the sink after I shave.
Karen Viditek is the chair of the fashion department at Virginia Commonwealth University. Coming up next, breathing life into puppets.
I will put the seat down. I will separate the recycling. I will carry your lip balm. I will watch your vampire TV shows with you.